Hallelujah. 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 How many people believe that God's grace is, God's mercy is new every morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. No matter what we're going through, He's there, whether it seems like it or not, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. So praise God. So yeah, so this, so we're in October, not August, Marie. Where's Marie? You're giving me nightmares again of all that heat. But praise God. So we're in October. We're starting into our final quarter of this year, right? This year has just gone by so quick. But God has done so much even in that time, right? And we're looking at the last quarter of, we'll probably, you know, we'll be moving, we'll be signing the lease on the, or the ownership papers actually, the on the new building. So there's a lot that still has to happen throughout this year, right? But as we go through this, all year we've been talking about proclaiming and magnifying the Lord, right? And you know, how many of us have really gotten to that place, right? With all the sermons that have gone on this year, they've all been focused on proclaiming and magnifying the Lord. Has that really been part of our walk this year? Have we learned how to proclaim and magnify the Lord in everything that we do, right? You know, and also, you know, this quarter, we're actually looking at the Magnificat, it's called, right? The Magnificat is like a Latin word for the magnificence of God, right? So we're closing out the year with the magnificence of God, and rightly so, because God is a magnificent God, and more than just magnificent in, as in awesome, but magnificent in every way, right? In every way that we can imagine, God is a magnificent God, right? And we're going to start looking at that in the month of October. Will be on, He's a merciful God. So we're going to go through that this morning. And as we go through that, you know, the Lord really gave me a word this morning. And as I was kind of contemplating the word, the Lord, you know, gives me a title, I guess. And then I'm like, I don't even know how to fit a message into that title. But the Lord brings me through it, right? So the title today is, okay, is what is your net worth, right? And before you start getting any ideas, let's go through that. It's not about your financial accounts. This is not a sermon on finances and how to manage your books. This is about your net worth in the kingdom, right? What is your net worth in the kingdom? You know, there's so many people who are aware of that, their net worth in the world. But what is our net worth in the kingdom? That's what God wants us to really understand. So if you just want to bow your head with me in prayer, we'll pray first and we'll ask the Lord to really usher in His word this morning. Father God, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for continuing to show us, O Lord God, that You have a desire to show us, O Father God, where You desire for us to go, where You desire to lead us, O Father God, and how You desire for us to just lean on You and trust in You, O Father God. Lord, I ask that You hide me this morning behind Your cross, O Father God, that You use me, O Father God, as a vessel, that You would deliver a word through me, O Father God, that would just pierce each one of our hearts, that even as we hear this word, that we'll be cleansed this morning by the washing of Your word. Lord, we ask that You have Your way in our hearts, have Your way in our mind, have Your way in this service this morning, and just anoint every word, saturate every word in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so it may pierce our hearts and change our walk before You. I thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what is your net worth, right? So as we look at what is your net worth, having problems this morning? Okay, there you go. So, and we're looking at it from a place of the magnificence of God, right? But in His mercy, right? In His mercy, where does God bring us? You know, yes, His mercies are new every morning, right? We have the grace of God all the time. We're going to look a little deeper into what that means for our walk and how it is that God is going to wants to actually bring us through that journey and actually have us in a place where we know the call that God has in our life, the purpose God has for us, and then that we are efficient in all that as we walk, because we already know the calling and the work that God has for us. So the Magnificat or magnificence is great indeed or exalted in place, marked by stately and lavishness, strikingly beautiful or impressive. These are all, I mean, we don't even, you know, we hear these words and they have worldly kind of meanings for us, or worldly ways we can actually, you know, consider tangible. But if we were to really see God in all of His glory, in all of His magnificence, you know, Abraham saw just the back of God, right? And his face glowed, right? Because of just getting one glimpse of God in his form, right? Imagine if we knew or completely understood and we knew the magnificence of God. We would be so encouraged and we would be so, you know, determined to know what God has for us and how can we even get to know him even all the more. So, praise God. So, mercy, right? I just want to go through because there's a difference between mercy and grace. And I just want to kind of differentiate between the two this morning because, you know, sometimes they're almost used synonymous in our walk, right? And we think that mercy and grace are the same thing, but they're actually a little different, right? So mercy, the meaning for mercy is compassion or forbearance shown, especially to an offender or to one subject to one's power also. Lenient or compassionate treatment. So someone who is under your power, I guess, and your mercy, you show mercy to them for a wrong they have committed, or a wrong that they have done, right? Where grace is free and unmerited favor of God, as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings, right? So grace is that which is unmerited favor. So even as mercy is for that is I guess is shown us. Not grace, but showing us favor when we have sinned or when we have actually not even forgiven. We have actually come against God in some way. Or you're showing someone mercy. Grace is just after you've already been forgiven. All that is done. Now there's an unmerited favor. There's a favor that is given to you. And as you walk with God, we have that favor every day, right? And we know that the mercy of God is upon us. But as we know that mercy is upon us, we cannot start to take it for granted. We have to actually realize that the mercy of God and the grace of God are with us each and every day, but they're not something we take for granted. So here, one of the most important differences between mercy and grace is that mercy is a matter of justice, whereas grace is not a matter of justice. Philosophers and thinkers believe that God alone is capable of showing both grace and mercy to people. So I'm just focusing on those two words right now because I really want us to understand that as we go through this month on the mercy of God, that we realize what it means to be at the mercy of God and how we are no longer at that mercy because of what Jesus has done for us, right? That the mercy of God is poured out upon us, but it's because of what Jesus has done for us, right? And that's so important to understand because if we start to understand that, we will want to deliver that message to others so that they can also be under that same mercy, right? And then receive of the grace of God continually. Praise God. So the Magnificat. And the Magnificat was the word that the Lord gave us when we were in our calendar meeting last year. But as I was looking this up, it's funny. The Magnificat is known as the prayer, if you will, that Mary, when she met Elizabeth, that she declared as they met together and as they were speaking. So I'm going to read that this morning just to kind of show how Mary was really exalting God. And this is not even her doing it under the actual indwelling of the Holy Spirit as we have today. But this is her, you know, in a position, right, where she's a young mother to be, right? She's out of wedlock. She has to explain this to her parents. She has to explain this to her husband to be. And she has to explain this to the township before her, who in that day and time, her actual penalty for that crime, if you will, would have been death, right? And here yet, as Mary is, you know, meeting with Elizabeth, and she's struggling with all this, right? The Holy Spirit comes over her, right? And then she's able to speak this. And this is the same thing for each one of us, that as the Holy Spirit comes over us, we should be in that place of praising and proclaiming the magnificence of God, right? So I just want to go through this. And it says that Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed, and has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." So in his mercy, here's Mary in a place, right, where she has this has been cast upon her, right? God has told her that she is going to be the one who gives birth to Jesus, the one who is promised, right? And yes, that's got to be a great joy for her, but when reality hits, how many of us have received a word from God, right? And we're so joyous when we've received that word, but now when we have to walk out that word, all of a sudden reality starts to strike and fear starts to come over and you start to wonder, how am I going to explain this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to walk this out? Are people going to really believe that God told me this? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the way that we are engineered, the way that we are made up is that when Mary says, well, that was God who did this to me. Just think of it. Any of the fathers that are out there, if your daughter came home and told you that she was pregnant, that God was the one who told her that she... Right, we all laugh, right? But just think of how Mary had to feel in those days. I mean, really, this is the stuff that she had to deal with in reality, yet she could say this about God. And we have to be in the same place. But how do we get there? How do we get there that every place that we're in, every situation we find ourselves, every tribulation that comes against us, every word that we try to walk out, how can we get to a place where we're actually giving God that exaltation, where we're actually magnifying God even as we go through it, as the Holy Spirit comes over us, where we're not shying away and allowing that blessing to dissipate because we're fearful, because we're anxious, because we let the enemy even rob us of the word that God has given us, right? We have to know how to get there. And that's the message this morning. What is your net worth? What is your net worth in the kingdom of God? And we're going to go through that a little bit. And we're going to look at these four different aspects of our... Because we are made up of mind, body, and soul, right? Right? And if our finances dictate what we do in immeasurable ways, you know, and how we actually respond to the word of God. If we have a job that's, you know, taking up too much of our time, do we actually, you know, spend that time with God? Do we spend the time on our job working unto God? Or are our finances in a way that are actually taking us away because we're building better houses? We're getting bigger cars? Our finances play a big role. So I want to include that as part of those four areas that we need to look at and to try and evaluate. And I'm not going to ask any of you here to give testimony here, but I do want each one of you, as we go through this, look at your heart, look at your life. Look at yourself as we go through this, because you have to be the one who sits before God and evaluate your net worth. Just as you take out your bank account, just as you would take out the deed to your house and the title to your car, all these things, and start to evaluate what your net worth is, let's do that in the kingdom of God. Let's see, what is my net worth in the kingdom of God? Let's see what God has for me, what value that he has placed. Not just each one of us are of immense value to the Lord, but God has a work that he saved us unto. He didn't just save you for no particular reason. God is a God of particulars, right? He is a God who is fine. He has put even gravity in place. He has spoke the entire world into existence, and it just hangs in the balance with no strings attached, right? God is someone who is perfect down to the very minute scale, and he wants us to realize that he has that calling upon our lives. He didn't just save us to live out the rest of our days and then go to be with him in heaven. He saved us so that we could be about my Father's business each and every day. And how do we get there? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves, right? So Elizabeth Keating, right? She's a certified personal finance counselor, said, simply put, right? Your financial net worth, right? Is what you own minus what you owe. A positive net worth indicates your assets outweigh your liabilities, meaning you're on track to building wealth. Right? That's the worldly evaluation of how to actually determine what your financial net worth is. Right? This is what the Lord has to say. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I'm not saying do not have a bank account, do not have a savings account. You have to, yes, be diligent in how we manage the monies that God gives. We have to be good managers of all that God puts at our disposal, right? But that should not impact us negatively in the kingdom of God. That should impact us positively in the kingdom of God. We should be able to bless others with what God has blessed us with. We should be able to tithe with what God has given us, right? We should be able to use those resources that God has given us. God gives us resources for that reason. He doesn't give us the resources so that we can now go and build bigger barns, as he said. That is not the reason for the financial wealth. That is not, it's not necessarily those who win. You know, there's a saying out there, those who die with the most toys wins. Well, that's a worldly perspective, right? And it truly is. I mean, there are many who are in that, who are tied up in that all the time. They have more money than they could ever need, and it's still not enough. What God is saying is, do not put your value in that. Yes, use the resources I give you. And as you use those resources to further the kingdom of God, then there will be a joy that comes. Then there will be provision that you won't even, you know, the Lord says, test me in this, and I will open up the windows of heaven, right? And pour a blessing that you won't even be able to contain, right? Because God will see that now as that those blessings come in, you're just going to pass those on. You're going to feed into the kingdom of God. You're going to continue to bless others with what God is blessing you with. And we have to examine ourselves with that. That's the first place we have to look, because it determines so much else in our lives. Where are we? Have we sat down before God and said, Lord, here are the finances. Here's my financial situation. I need you to show me how to be a good manager over the resources you put at my disposal. And as we do that, God will start to show you. God will start to show you exactly what he has. If, you know, Austin Stephanie have a class going right now that will actually help you, you know, get those worldly tools, if you will. You know what I'm saying? They're not worldly tools, but tools of the world, let's put it this way, that will help you to manage the resources God puts at your disposal. Don't just sit back and say, oh, I can't do it. That is a defeated attitude. That is not what God wants for us to have. He wants us to be aware of our situation, bring it before him in prayer, and say, Lord, please help me. Help me where I am weak. You are strong, right? Let your strength be my strength and my weakness, right? So physical net worth could be defined as a set of attributes that people have that relates to the ability to perform physical activities, right? So this is physical net worth, right? So I just jumped in the next one, sorry. So physical net worth, right? You know, we have to also, that's a big one for us. We have to know where we are physically before. God has given us a body, right? And his desire is that we use that, again, to further and advance the kingdom of heaven, to actually be about his business. We have to be pay attention to what it is we eat, how we sleep, what kind of stress is upon us. All these things are parts of our walk that will affect us as we walk with the Lord, right? So physical net worth could be defined as a set of attributes that people could have that relates to the ability to perform physical activities, right? And the ability to perform daily activities with vigor, a demonstration of traits and capacities that are associated with a low risk of premature development of hypokinetic diseases, right? So these are all, so in other words, are you able to do your daily activities with vigor? Or are you doing them lethargically and, you know, tired all the time? And, you know, these are all areas that we have to take into account, right? And ask the Lord, if this is where you are, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. This is not meant to be if any of this is speaking to you this morning, this is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do not let the enemy sneak in and use this for condemnation. But let the Holy Spirit bring conviction and know that you can come before God and God will enable us in each one of these situations, right? In 1 Corinthians, this is what God has to say, right? About physical net worth, right? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. God owns this body, you know? God owns this body, so we have to treat this body as God's possession, right? And if God is truly magnificent, if we want to magnify God in all things, right? We have to, we're going to slip every so often. We have our flesh to deal with. All of these things are there. But if we continue to come before God and say, Lord, you see my situation. You see where I'm at. Lord, give me the tools to do this. You know what I'm saying? There's so many things. There's so many different ways that we actually, even sickness creeps in. You know, there's so many different ways that we have to come before God with our physical bodies that we should be on our knees continually saying, Lord, show me. Strengthen me. You, yes, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to magnify you with this. Lord, give me the strength. Give me the wisdom. Bring people into my life that will show me how to actually do that. And then don't just sit idly by and allow the enemy to say, oh, look at you. You can't do it. You can't do it. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God has said you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? That you should be vibrant. You should be someone who is actually excited about life. And if you're not, then there is a resource, and that is getting back into communion with God and sitting before God and saying, Lord, show me how you want me to operate in this manner, right? So the next is mental health, right? Mental health, and mental health, again, encompasses so many different things. We could have stress. We could have, you know, family members who are sick. We could have so many different things, right? But mental health, from a worldly perspective, is a state of well-being in which an individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. That is someone with a healthy mindset, I guess you could say. Someone who is actually wanting to, you know, be involved and what you call it, and contribute to their community, right? Now, that's a worldly understanding of what it is, right? God's declaration is, be anxious for nothing. I'm going to say it again. Be anxious for nothing. Not just some things. Not every now and again, but be anxious for nothing. But everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? Because the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. If you want to have a healthy mind, if you want to have a mind that's productive in the kingdom of God, you know, if we're productive in the kingdom of God, we're hyper-productive in the world. You know what I'm saying? Because the world will see us and they will envy what we have, and they will start to come to you and ask you, how can you have peace in the face of everything that you are facing? And then you will have opportunity. You will have opportunity to point them to your Father in heaven. You will have opportunity to show them why you have peace when they cannot have it, right? And this, and you know, God's declaration, this is not that we just have a mind that can contribute, but that we have a mind that's without stress completely. Now, to get there can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's so many things that can invade in that. There's so many things. Because this world continues to encroach. The enemy is very good at what he does. And he tries to put everything in our path. Even when Peter was walking on the water, right? He tried to distract him with the waves and was successful, right? We have to be able to fix our sight on Jesus. And not let this world distract us. And as we do that, you will start to see that chaos is going on all around you. But you're walking in perfect peace. And that is possible. That is possible. You know, we need to be in worship. We need to be in fellowship. But this does not happen by accident. It happens by being in pursuit of God. It happens by being in your prayer closet. By surrounding yourself with worship music. By surrounding yourself with those who are of like mind to you. Right? Who are not a distraction to your mind. If there's someone who's not of light mind, they're going to distract you. They're going to draw you away from what God is calling you to. Right? And now you'll be a double-minded man. And James says, double-minded man can expect nothing from God. Right? So we have to be single-minded and single-minded on God. And as we do, God says, right, that the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, you won't even understand it yourself. Why it is that you're at peace in this situation. You won't even be able to understand it. You will be almost arguing with yourself as to why you're having peace. But the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That is not if. That is not if all the situations in your life are lined up. That is not if. Because it's if you come before Him with prayer and thanksgiving, right? Right? Be anxious for nothing. Because if you come before Him with prayer and thanksgiving, He will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, right? And then you will have that perfect peace, right? Our spiritual net worth. Here is, and there's more to this, but as we look at our spiritual net worth, right? All of those things have to be in place. All those things have to be in place for our spiritual net worth to actually start to gain in worth, if you will, right? Or the amount of spiritual net worth we have in the kingdom, right? Listen, I'm not telling you that one person is more valuable than another. Everybody is the same, has the same value to God. God loves each one of us equally, but God is calling each one of us to a work. He has saved you to that work, and his desire is that you would enter in and realize that work. Right? And as you start to realize that, as you get all these other things out of your mind, the financial, the spirit, the body and the mind, as you start to get that out of the way, now when you start to operate as the spiritual being that you now are, the old man is dead. You are now a spiritual being. We need to start understanding what does it mean to live spiritually, spiritual lives, right? And how can we get to that place? So as we look at this, just to examine your heart. Examine where you are right now. Let the Holy Spirit bring conviction. And don't let this be a time where you just hear this. Don't be just hearers, but be doers, right? Don't be hearers only, be doers. Once you hear this, take this in and make it into action. You know, ask God, how do I bring this from what I'm hearing to actually walking out in my life, right? Our spiritual net worth is determined by the amount of time we spend with the Lord and our ability to trust the Lord totally. Now, I was looking for a worldly, example or worldly explanation of spiritual net worth, right? And there's an array because they don't understand what spirituality means, right? This spirituality, they're considering a mind release or a body and mind combination. There's a whole bunch of things out there, right? But we can only look to God for what's our spiritual net worth. We can't look anywhere else, right? We can't look for any other explanation except God. And God's going to tell us that our spiritual net worth is determined by the amount of time we spend with the Lord and our ability to trust the Lord totally. Look at your week, right? There is 168 hours in every week. How many of those hours are we spending with God? In alone time with God. So if you spend 1 hour a week, you have one 168% worth in the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying that. I'm just giving you a tool to work with, right? If you spend two, now you go up even more, right? But these are things. You can actually evaluate how much time you're spending with the Lord and divide that into 168. And then you start to understand where your spiritual net worth or how to increase your spiritual net worth, right? Because these are the things that happen when our spiritual net worth is low, right? Selfishness, misery, anxiety, intolerance, hostility, immorality, infidelity, apathy, undisciplined, right? So let's take a moment to measure our spiritual net worth. We have to look at these things. We are Christians, yes. We are saved, yes. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But if we're not spending the time with God, you measure what it is in that 168 hours of the week, right? These can still be the part of our walk in the spiritual. These are the things that can struggle, that we can struggle with. These are things that can bog down our mind. These are things that can actually affect our physical health, right? All these things, and God is trying to tell us, these are not the things that are meant to be what actually describe your spiritual net worth. Because here is what God says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If we are actually coming before the Lord and sitting before him, spending more and more time before the Lord, just bathing in his glory, bathing in his magnificence, bathing in his mercy, right? These will just happen. You do not have to force an apple tree to give forth apples. It just does it naturally. But the same thing for us in our spiritual walk. We cannot force the things of God. We don't own these. Let's go back. It says, the fruit of who? The fruit of the Spirit. So these are the fruits of the Spirit. We don't own these fruits. They're not ours. I cannot push these fruits forward. I cannot make these fruits to be how I operate. The only way I can do that is by filling up with the Holy Spirit, by being in the presence of God, by being with people who are of like mind, by being with people who are pursuing after God in the same manner that I am, right? And as I do that, right, the fruits will just come out. Now, in a situation where I shouldn't be loving, I will be. Where I shouldn't have joy, I will have joy. Where I shouldn't have peace, I will have peace. Because the Holy Spirit will actually, even beyond my own ability to understand, he says it himself, even beyond my ability to comprehend, he will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. because His fruit will be what comes out. So that's what we have to. We have to take time and take stock of where we are before God. I can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your kids can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. You have to sit before God and say, Lord, here I am. Be honest. Just like we saw in the video, be honest before God. Say, Lord, I don't know why you're not answering. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know. And Lord will start to show you. But the only way that that can happen is by spending time in His presence. Don't come before Him and unload it all and then walk away. We have to be able to. If we're going to unload on God, we have to be willing to stop and hear God's rebuke. You know what I'm saying? Because God will initially rebuke. Because I know for myself, many times I've dumped on the Lord. The Lord's like, okay. But let's look at you. And I'm like, no. That's not why I came here. I want you to take this stuff away. But God will come back. It won't be a rebuke unto condemnation. But it will be a rebuke unto conviction. And now we will start to well up, seeing that there is hope. Because the mercy of God will start to actually, we will actually just understand and know the mercy of God. That mercy that is new every morning. We will start to understand that. That when we're in that situation, we've done all these things in contrary to the way God wanted us to do it. His mercy is there. His mercy is for us in that situation. His mercy will be lavished upon us, right? And then His grace will just start to, just start to emit from Him towards us, and we'll be able to walk in these things. And before we even know it, this will start to become a part of your life, the way you walk. Now you're no longer struggling with this area of life because you've learned to walk in that. You've been delivered from that. You no longer even to desire after that. And someone comes to you for counsel, you'll be able to counsel them. Because you'll say, listen, I was there, and this is what my God did for me. This is what God brought me from. This is how I walk today. And I could not have done it without my God. So if you want to know how to walk this way, then let's sit and I introduce you to Jesus. I will show you who Jesus is in my life, you know what I'm saying? And I will show you who Jesus can be in your life. And that is the work that God has for us. It can be in many different ways, but God's work is for us to go out and save those who are lost. We don't do the saving. We introduce them to the gospel. God saved them. We can't save anybody. But we can introduce them to the gospel message, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? That is the work that God has for us, right? So here in Hebrews it says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Right? This is the awesome thing. When you are saved, you can take confidence, right? Knowing that you can come before the throne of grace with confidence. Before you were outside of the will of God, before you were outside of the salvation of God, you could not even come before God's throne of grace. You did not even know of God's throne of grace. You did not even understand there was a throne of grace, right? Even though you were looking for grace, you did not know there was a throne of grace. But now we're saved. The Holy Spirit is starting to work in us. He's starting to actually bring us to a place. If we truly sit before God and say, Lord, here I am. Here's where I am financially. Here's where I am physically. Here's where I am mentally. Here's where I am spiritually. Lord, I need you to deliver me in these areas. I need you to show me how to walk a walk that will be vibrant before you, right? And we can get there by coming with confidence before His throne of grace, so that we may receive the mercy we need and then the grace to help us in our time of need, right? And in Luke, right? I love this. Luke 10, 2 through 11. And He was saying to them, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. That is God's call for us. He saved us to be about the Lord's work, and that is to be out in the harvest field. And His desire is to equip us. But He cannot equip us if we do not come and pursue Him for what it is we need. You know, if we don't even know where we stand before God, if we don't even know our net worth before God, we will think that right now, where we're at, this is good. You know, I'm saved. I've got victories in certain places. I can live right here in comfort. God doesn't want us in our comfort zone. God wants us out of our comfort zone. Because in my comfort zone, I'm not growing. In my comfort zone, I've become stagnant. But when I started to pursue after God, God was starting to get me out of my comfort zone. He started to get me out of my place and start to realize that he has so much more. If God has said, I want you to have not just life, but abundant lives, right? That is not a place of complacency. That is not a place of saying, okay, I'm good where I'm at. God wants us growing. God wants us maturing. God wants us thriving. God wants us out there reaching the lost and having the joy of the Lord be what is actually, you know, being poured out to those. So here, right, he was saying that this is Jesus speaking, right? The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. They were beseeched the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. That's the next thing we have to realize, that we need to be equipped. You are not going out into a receptive world. You are not going into a place that's going to accept the gospel message. We might as well accept that right now, but that should not deter us. That should not deter us. Jesus said, I'm sending you out. You're lambs as wolves. I mean, just picture that in your mind, right? Jesus was all about symbolism. He was all about you know, parables, right? So he knew the amount of chance that a lamb had in the face of a wolf. Not just a sheep even, but a lamb, right? And he is sending us out as lambs. So we should not expect that when we go out that we're going to be received well, right? But as we go, he says, carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way, right? Whatever house you enter first, say peace be to this house. And again, this goes back to their traditional way of witnessing, right? And when the Jewish custom, right? If you went into a town and you went into the house, they had to take you in, right? If they took you in and blessed you, then yes, your blessing would rest with them, right? That was the Jewish custom. In today's custom, that's not so welcome, I guess, if you will, because you just don't know what you're bringing into your house. But let's think of the house as bodies, right? Let's think of the house as neighborhoods. Let's think of the house as our jobs, right? So when we go into the jobs, when we go into our neighborhoods, when we go into different places, right? Yes, deliver the gospel message, right? And it says, and peace be to this house, right? Go in there as a peace giver. Not as someone who's beating someone over the head with the Bible, right? Or not even trying to be offensive. Not trying to be someone who's stirring it up. But go in there and say, peace be to this house, right? And if that peace, right? If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Just realize that as we're doing this, our job is not to be the one who saves people. Our job is to be the one who delivers the message of God. Our job is to be the one who comes before the masses, right? And says, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the authority. Give me the power to actually deliver your message in this place. So that as those people are hearing you, right? It's not just your message, right? But because our minds can get bogged down, right? In saying, oh, I can't, my arguments are not working. My ways are not working. My scripture verses are not working. And all of a sudden, the enemy will start to play with your mind. And now you will be deemed ineffective, right? Because your mind's net worth, as far as you're concerned, is worth nothing in the kingdom of God. That's what the enemy will have you believe. But we have to know, what is your mind's net worth? We have to know that. You have to come before God and say, my mind is stayed on God. My mind is at perfect peace. Because I know I have brought all things before God with prayer and thanksgiving. And even beyond my own perception, God will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And we'll be able to come against the lies of the enemy in that situation. We will be able to go into those situations and deliver a gospel message without any concern about what God's work is. God has called us to do our work, not his work. His work is saving. His work is opening the eyes and the hearts of the people. The Holy Spirit will do that work. He did it for me. He did it for every one of you. There is no one out there that you could say that's worse than me or worse than you, right? We all fall short of the glory of God, right? We all fall short. God's desire is that none would perish, right? So if the Holy Spirit did it for you and me, the Holy Spirit can do it for anybody. And we have to come to that place in our mind knowing that that is our net worth. And in the spiritual realm, we can know that as we speak and as we go into these places and speak the things of God, we don't have to worry about the results. We just have to deliver the message and let God do the work, right? And it says, stay in that house, right? If that house is receiving you, if that person is receiving you, if that whatever it may be, if your unsaved loved one, your neighbor, your co-worker, if it is receiving you, right? Stay there. Watch the work that God has for you and continue to persist in that work. It may not happen in an instant. It may not happen a day. It may be a work that you have to labor at. It may be something that person has to see over and over and over again. And as their eyes start to become, you know, less cluttered with the world, and as they start to understand the actual power of the Holy Spirit, that could be the work that God has for you. And it might just be one person right now. It might be a group person. It might be people where God is sending you out to do missionaries. Whatever it is, you have to know what that calling is. There is no way you will know that calling unless you understand your net worth in the kingdom of God. You have to sit before God and say, Lord, what is my net worth? What is your net worth in the spiritual, right? Are you spending 1 hour? Are you spending 10 hours? Are you spending all day praying before God? You know, you don't have to be locked away in a prayer closet to be giving your time to God. You could be on your workplace giving 8 hours to God because your mind is stayed on Him. Your mind is set on Him. You're witnessing of Him. So now those 8 hours, you can count as net worth in the kingdom of God because you're about your Father's work. So these are all the things that we have to start taking into account. And as we do that, we will start to see those areas that the Holy Spirit is showing us and then take them in prayer before God. Ask Him to show you how it is to walk in these places and in these ways that will actually give you the ability to do this. Enter in. As you're received, now you will know the work that God has for you. And then it says, whatever city you enter and receives you, eat what is set before you. Again, don't look at this person and say, well, this is a Muslim. Oh, he's a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's homosexual. Whatever it may be. If God has sent you there, be God's representative. Be God's representative. You do not condemn. God, Jesus did not come to condemn the world. Right? You were not condemned when the Holy Spirit sent someone to you. But it was that conviction of the Holy Spirit that brought us. And it's that conviction of the Holy Spirit that continues to grow us. So we have to be able to walk into that place and allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We have to let the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, that fruit go forth and have its work and have its way, right? And heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. These are all the things that will just start to flow. You know, as babes in Christ, right? We don't know how to do all these things. But as we start to, you know, understand our net worth in God, and as you start to exercise in the way that God wants us to work, these things will just start to happen. You know, the book of Acts tells us how the disciples were just walking, and when the shadow fell upon people, they were healed, right? Do we serve the same God? Do we serve the same God? So those works have not stopped. God has not given up on that plan. God's desire is that we would have the fervency, the desire, and know our net worth in the kingdom of God, so that even as we go, and God says, heal that person, or just walk by that person, so your shadow will be enough to heal that person. We have to be able to know that we can do that. But if we're not even at the place where we understand where our net worth is, we won't even be able to hear God saying to us, do that. Or even if we do, we'll be so confused in our head as to whether that was us, whether that's God, is that my desire, is that God's desire. We, by the time we even go to that person, we've already confused ourselves out of the blessing, right? So we have to be in that place where we know our network before God. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. Now I'm not saying this, and this is not saying that if you go into a city, right? Or if you go to someone and they have initially reject you, right? This is talking about, remember this is speaking of a culture, right? And they knew that their responsibility was to accept that person into their house. They knew that by custom, they should give that person something to eat. They knew by custom all that was known to them. When we come to someone who's in the world, they're not even aware of any of that yet. But let's bring them to that place of awareness. And as we labor with them in that, and even as we come, you may go a long way with someone, and they may turn around and still reject the gospel message. And at that point, then you turn and you walk away, you know? Because there's no point in throwing your pearls before pigs, right? But we can't just think that because we read this, we have to take it in context. They knew their responsibility. They knew what they were supposed to do. Those who are of the world do not know that. So we have to bring them to that place. We have to love them and show them that they need to be at that place. And even if they come to that place and they didn't reject it, then that applies here, right? These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, right? This is John 14, 25, 27. I'm going to close with this, right? So this is Jesus saying, these things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So if anyone is here this morning and you don't know your net worth, you've never sat before God to evaluate your net worth in the kingdom of God, do so. Do not let this message just fall flat. Start today. Start to ask God to show you what your net worth is. And then to start go out and do the work of God. Because Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. You do not need to say, I don't know enough. Because the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit knows every single word of God. He knows every single word that he has inspired in the Bible. These are his words. These are not your words. Even if you memorize them, they're still not your words. They are the words of God, right? So the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You know, I'm sure everybody can testify to this as we were talking to someone, as we were witnessing to someone, and we're in that position, all of a sudden the Lord brings a scripture to mind. That's what this is saying, that the Holy Spirit is the one who brought that to remembrance. But we have to be in prayer. We have to be before God, figure out what's our net worth. We have to know, Lord, show me, as I read your Bible, show me what it is that you're calling upon my life. And as we read, don't read just to tick off a box. Say, you know what, I need to do this as a Christian. Don't read to know how to memorize scripture verses. I'm not saying you shouldn't memorize scripture verse, but don't do it just to memorize scripture verse. Because that memorized scripture verse is not what will give you what you need at that time. As you read the word of God, as you get that word in you, the Holy Spirit can only bring to your remembrance what you once read already. So read the word of God, continuing to read the word of God. And as you read that word of God, now when you're in that position, the Holy Spirit will bring that to your remembrance. And in that place, you will be able to speak these things. And Jesus says here, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So once again, realize the mercy of God is new every single morning. There is nothing, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, I encourage you, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Anyone who's here, anyone who's listening online, I encourage you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then you will see and understand the mercy of God. Then you will start to know the grace of God. Then you can start to come before God and understand your net worth in the kingdom of God. And as you start to understand your net worth, this is something that the Lord gave me. I'm just going to close with this. As you start to understand your net worth, you understand what your net is worth. So as we cast out our net, you will start to understand that is worth everything, because you are starting to bring people in. You are starting to bring people into the kingdom of God. And now, as you're mending your net, as you're mending those tears and those holes, now you will have purpose. Now you will have a reason. And you will have a reason. Even as Jesus says, cast it over the left-hand side, not the right-hand side. Then you will know how it is to use that net. So praise God this morning. Just want to bow your head with me in prayer. Well, no, we'll close out against the praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And all my life you have been faithful.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, yeah. So as you leave today, as you leave it, when we leave this place, do not let this word fall flat. This is an awesome word from God. It has convicted me as the Lord has given it to me. So I just ask that even as you leave today, come before God, sit before God and say, Lord, what is my net worth? How am I using my finances? How am I using this body, this temple that you've given me? Where is my mind in this? How am I walking spiritually with you, Father God? And allow the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to show you, to bring that conviction, to bring that joy, to bring His fruits to bear, that even as you walk out of here, that you will start to understand the calling that God has. It's specific, not the general, but the specific calling that God has for your life. He saved you. He saved you unto good works that were already established beforehand. So start to come before God and say, Lord, what are those good works? What are the works that you have for me that I may walk in them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The altars are open if you want prayer. We're just going to close out with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for just opening our eyes, opening our minds, opening our hearts here today, oh Father God. Lord, oh God, I just thank you for your word, Lord. Let it bring conviction upon my heart. Let it bring conviction upon each and every person's heart here, oh Father God. Let your word go out, oh Father God, and do not let it come back void, oh Father God. But let it produce the fruit that you have desired for it to do, oh Father God. Let it bring conviction in our hearts, in our lives, in our walks, Lord, that we would know our net worth before you, oh Father God. And Lord God, even as we go, Lord, that you would start to change us, that you would start to mature us, that you would start to grow us, that you would start to show us, that you would start to point us, oh Father God, toward the specific work you have for each and every one of us, Lord. And the impact that this kingdom, your kingdom, would have on this world will be noticed throughout Goshen and beyond, oh Father. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness.